Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. And let's see, we'll introduce our illustrious panel here, Tom and Melissa Gould.
Whoa.
And Fran, Director Fran Ginsberg, and I'm Bob. And tonight's topic is going to be a part two. We're going to take, many of you have written in with some questions that you had about the afterlife. Not that we can give you definitive answers, but we can give you some educated guesses based upon some evidence, and the rest will be total conjecture. But it's
or based on reading and research, and
that's true.
Yeah.
And
make this stuff up.
Tonight's show is sponsored by the Comlock Center. That's comlock.com, K-A-M-L-A-K. Many of you have already written in with your questions, and certainly, if you'd like to call and join in, the number here is 1-888-627-6008. And before we get rocking and rolling, Fran will get us caught up on events.
Okay. So we want to remind all of our listeners to check the events page on our website regularly, because things change. And that is foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And to let our listeners know what they might be missing that's coming up this month, on May 13th from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, 11 to noon Pacific time, we have the Visionary Explorers Group. It's an online meeting, and you have to pre-register for it and be approved into the group. On May 18th, from 5:45 to 7:45 p.m., we have a brand new afterlife discussion group that's starting up in Crown Point, Indiana. So if you're in and about that area, check it out. On May 23rd, 6:45 to 8:45 p.m., our afterlife discussion group is in Cold Spring Harbor, New York. Our Holidays Past raffle, our Holidays Past raffle with another chance to win, up to 5 medium readings will be up and running shortly, so watch out for that. And those of you who entered the Earth Day raffle, our winners are Sally H. from North Carolina, Kathleen B. from Texas, Jeff B. from New York, Marion C. from Florida, and Terry K. from New York. Those people have been contacted, and hopefully they've gotten their information and they're setting up their readings with their respective mediums. We want to remind everybody to sign up for our next webinar with Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti on Saturday, May 13th, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. He will present Basis for a Rational Belief in Life After Life. And for our listeners, we have a special member-only coupon code for a few free seats. Grab them while you can. Belief is the coupon code you should type in, B-E-L-I-E-F, if you're a member. And if you're not yet a member, or you just became a member and you haven't satisfied the 30-day waiting period yet, your code number for a half-price seat is Parisetti. That's P-A-R-I-S-E-T-T-I. Remember to sign up now, as there are only a limited number of these free and reduced-price seats. Our early bird registration for our annual grief retreat will remain available until May 31st, when we will begin charging the full cost to attend. We've recommended booking early, as last year the rooms at the retreat filled and some attendees had to stay off premises. At this time, we only have 10 spots at this retreat left, 10 rooms. And if you're booking early, keep in mind our no-refund policy. This event only gets better each year, so plan to join us this July 14th through 16th. Be one of only 50 guests who come from across the globe to spend a weekend in a beautiful and peaceful setting with like-minded people, all learning that our loved ones are still with us. The weekend is all-inclusive and features spirit communication with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Rebecca Ann Lo Cicero, Joe Peretta, and Gina Simone, working alongside our other professionals and facilitators. It also includes a variety of activities and small breakout workshops, all designed to heal. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on that donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, Great Nonprofits, and WellZoo. And if you have a business and would like to advertise on this show, please email us at businessmembership@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Back to you, Bob.
Okay, and let's get right into some of the questions that you've written in. Jim has an interesting question. He says, do all humans and animals have a spirit in the afterlife when they cross over? And does this include all animals since the beginning of the earth? And does that include all forms of life, including insects and bacteria, et cetera?
Question.
Interesting question. I have my opinion, but
I think we all have our opinion.
I'll wait to hear anybody else. What do you want to tackle?
I think Tom is our deepest thinker. I think Tom should go first.
I think, yeah, if it's if there's a life energy, it will exist on beyond whatever it was occupying while it was here. In fact, I have done readings where apparently some spirit that was a human decides that, you know, I'm going to go back as a tree and I'm going to sit in the woods and I'm going to enjoy that. So it's very possible.
So the loggers come along.
Well, I think, I mean, the first part of the question, do all humans and animals have a spirit in the afterlife? Certainly, we believe that animals do because the evidence says so. I mean, the many people that have near-death experiences report having reunions with deceased animals. Channeled reports talk about, you know, animals in the afterlife, and people have after-death communications, you know, that involve pets. So yeah. I think that's true. But I guess what we get into is, do you need consciousness to have a soul to go into the spirit realm, you know? So
is consciousness the soul?
Well, we don't know what consciousness is, but a lot of people intertwine the two terms. Yeah. So we're saying, yeah, sure, humans and animals, you know. But how about, like what Jim mentioned? What about insects? Are insects conscious entities?
I think, go ahead.
No, I was just worried that Jim is experiencing what I am this time of year with a lot of ants on my counter. And while I really can't kill anything, I'm afraid these little ants have been smushed quite a bit by me. And I always say I'm sorry and thank you, but I'm afraid I'm guilty.
Yeah.
And I have to say that every reading I have ever had with a medium, a dog shows up. I never had a dog. I wanted a dog when I was a kid, but I never had one. But there's a dog that shows up in my reading.
Hmm. Yeah, really.
Well, I was just going to look at it from a different point of view. I was going to look at it from the collective consciousness that everything we know from experiments with plants that everything that's living is somehow connected to that collective consciousness. Which means that so are the ants, and so are the bugs, and so are all these living things. But it seems that in order to make a connection from this world to the other world, that you needed to have a connection on a physical level first. So that's why dogs and cats and maybe even hamsters might come through, but an ant won't, because how many people have pet ants. That's just the way that I'm thinking. But it doesn't mean that they're not there.
Right.
It's just that how do you communicate with them?
I know that I've never, you know, witnessed a medium reading, you know, that where insects came, you know, came through or were discussed, I did look back and I saw that in some, you know, near-death experience reports, people talk about insects. But I was reading an interesting theory that somebody had, and his theory was that whereas humans and animals and pets have an individual soul, that maybe things like ants and insects just have a collective soul.
Yeah.
You know? Interesting theory. You know?
And, you know, we do often hear about butterflies, and it seems as though spirit influences perhaps a human spirit may influence a butterfly or birds to make themselves known to us. So I wonder if one, well, I think they could also influence other individuals. People say, I don't know why I just did that, why I went up and, you know, hugged that stranger. So I'm just trying to think of if human spirits are able to influence insects, would that mean the insect doesn't have its own ability to...
Yeah, you can make the argument that an insect, you know, can, you know, react to stimuli, but that they don't, they're not really conscious in the sense that we think of it, you know, of, you know, having an interaction and thought, you know. So, I mean, my inclination would be that insects don't move into a spirit realm, but I, you know, I'm certainly open to the possibility.
Well, you know, if you've read the Seth books, Seth talks about that, you know, one spirit can have tentacles, if you will, and at the end of each tentacle can be a person or a dog or a bird or an insect, I would imagine. I mean, we're all, and ultimately we're all connected. It's all, we're all part of one energy flow.
Right.
Which includes any living thing.
True. I know we have to get the first break out of the way. When we come back, maybe we can address the other part of the question that we didn't really address, was that, does that include all, like, human and animal souls since the beginning of time? You know, so let's get into that. First, we're going to go to a break. Stay with us. We'll be back real soon.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the gathering, where we are talking, we're actually discussing your questions. Many of you have sent them in, and in case you want to call, it's 1-888-627-6008. We were talking before the break. One part of the question was that, specifically with animals, but it would apply to human souls too, whether or not all humans and animals since the beginning of Earth are in the spirit realm. And, you know, some people have a hard time with that because they think, well, it's crowded there, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't think that everybody's congregating in one physical space, you know. So
I don't think they're bodies.
It's
consciousness.
And it isn't a finite space either.
No, it's limitless.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's an issue. But do you agree that everybody goes to the spirit realm?
Every consciousness.
Every human being.
Well, your physical body doesn't go there.
No, but everybody's consciousness, soul goes to the spirit realm.
Absolutely.
And I would apply the same to animals.
To animals, to trees, to bushes, to every single blade of grass.
And that would also mean since the beginning of time as we know it in this physical realm.
Well, if you're looking at Kabbalah, that's where it all started, was the consciousness, and then the vessel exploded, which corresponds, I guess, to the Big Bang, right? And then we had physicalness.
Right. There's another question from Liz. She says, in referring to mediums, do they actually see and hear our loved ones? During my reading, the medium said my late husband had an accent. She was exactly right because he was from Switzerland. So I wanted to tackle that question.
Well, I've heard that over and over again.
Right. Yeah.
Where particularly in large groups, when the medium is trying to decipher or describe the person, and the person happens to be from another country, they'll say, and he's speaking with, and sometimes they even get the language, an Italian accent, or he's speaking with a Swedish accent. They know it, and yet very often the medium doesn't even speak that language, has never been to that country.
Right.
So are they hearing it,
Or are they being given telepathic information so they could say he's speaking with an Italian accent?
Yeah.
That's the big question.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it just depends on the medium. I know Laura Lynn talks about that she gets a little movie playing in her head, which she can see physical characters and hear voices. I think the question sort of leads to the, well, are they walking around in the afterlife, like just looking and sounding like they did all the time? And I don't believe that, but I believe they know how to, especially if they want to get a message across, they know what will connect with the person they're trying to connect to. And they will do things like that. But, yeah, mediums are constantly saying, oh, he's really funny, and the person was funny. Or, oh, wow, she's in control. She's barging right in and taking over here. And it tends to be the personalities that you are familiar with.
Yeah. So, with the language, it's so obviously her husband in spirit is not speaking, the language of Switzerland to the medium, because the medium doesn't understand that language, and most likely, but the person in spirit is skillful enough to convey that flavor, to language.
Yeah.
right? So, I mean, that's...
Yeah, but it also reminds me, if you want to go the other way, that time when Lynn LeClaire was doing a reading, and she was using sign language with her hands, later to only learn that she did not know sign language, but for her sitter, that was the only way that she communicated with her daughter.
Yeah.
So,
and that may be an example where a little bit of physical mediumship comes in, the person in spirit is really taking over her body. If she is making hand motions and speaking a sign language that she did not know, the medium.
Yeah.
And using mannerisms.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was actually my mom's reading where that happened, and it was her niece and Melissa, who knows some sign language, asked Lynn, do you know sign language? And Lynn says, no. And I said, well, you're signing, I'm sorry. But what was significant for my mother is her niece was deaf. So she was picking it up that way. And then the very next, this is a night of mediums, and then the very next guy that she came to, about halfway through the reading, he had tears flowing down his face. And afterwards I talked to him, and I said, what got to you? And Lynn was rubbing his back, and he said she did it exactly the way my mother did. So, things like that.
Something about Lynn.
Jonathan had a question that we really addressed. I recently lost my beloved Labrador Retriever. I was wondering if there is any evidence suggesting that our pets cross over to the other side, and we just addressed that.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
We're confirming that.
And not only is there evidence for that, but we see sometimes that the dogs on the other side and other animals are able to communicate in a similar fashion through a medium, speaking that universal language that we were just talking about. So... always remain open to that, and you would look for a sign from your animal the same way that you would from a family member. Now, Brian writes an interesting question. I'm convinced consciousness is eternal. I've existed in other forms before and will always exist in one form or another, but I don't know what to do with my day, so I'm eternal. Now what?
I like that guy.
So in other words, what are the implications for an eternal life system? That's a legitimate question, all right, so now I'm at the point where I believe that life's a continuum. What do I do with that information?
Well, there's no reason to incarnate anymore unless there's something specific you want to experience.
Oh, like he's completed all of
like
his
completed.
Mission.
I'm convinced, and I get mm-hmm. it.
Mm-hmm. Well, how would that affect your physical life, though? I mean, how would you live your life differently,
you mean
knowing that you're eternal?
Life is all the world's a stage, and
yeah.
We just come and we take those parts and we play those parts out.
For the fun. I mean, it's
creative.
Quite simply. I mean, since I've been studying this and finding things out about that, I've understood the, you know, the three premises that you ask for something or sending an intention out, you trust and believe that it can be given, and then when it is given, you're thankful. And I have found that things do come to you. Things that are nice come when you put out the intention for it and you build the love. And, you know, I personally believe that we here in the physical world are kind of love miners, that we are here, that the love we create feeds all of the universe. And the more that we love and are loved, the better everybody is.
Yeah, so when I think about this continuum of existence and you going from one life to another or one realm to another, it only makes sense if there's collective growth that happens. Because if you believe that we have all of these lifetimes and each one is random, so if we have a series of random existences with no purpose, that doesn't seem to make much sense to me either, unless that is the meaning of life. You just, as you mentioned, it's just a vast playground and it's all experience, you know. But I would like to think that there's an underlying direction or growth or purpose or meaning to all of these things that are strung together, even though we don't realize it.
Right. Well, I think we each have our own individual meaning or purpose, which is the reason we incarnate here, to fulfill that. So if everybody is doing that, and they are going within to understand what their purpose is, not just taking it from a purely materialistic point of view, like, oh, I think I should become an actress. I'm going to get on a plane and I'm going to fly to Hollywood and I'm going to nest there until my purpose fulfills.
Yeah.
You know, you have to really go within yourself to recognize and understand what it is here that you need to do. And I think it all, to me, seems to be oriented around leaving the world a better place than the way you found it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Even if that just means touching lives and
right.
A kind exactly. Word.
Yeah. Well, other theories is that we're on the brink of a new age of awareness, where we will be closer to the spirit world in our abilities to communicate with them and hear them back. I'm certainly waiting for that and hoping that it's true. But that will be certainly a step up.
Wait, I have another question for Tom then.
Yeah.
Do you think that thought that you're just sharing has anything to do with the increased sightings of UFOs?
Sure.
If we're going to meet up with a more spiritual world, you know, it's clearly not going to happen overnight, but this is something that's already in motion that seems to be increasing in frequency. So
that's an interesting thing to ponder.
Well, here's a related question. Do you think that humans reincarnate only back to Earth in human form, or might we choose to reincarnate to other planets in the universe in other forms?
Oh, I definitely, absolutely. I would believe that.
That's going to be a whole new problem for Homeland Security.
You know, there was another question about why we would, and we've discussed this before, you know, why would we, if we have free will, why would we choose to reincarnate into another existence of turmoil or pain, you know? And the common spiritual answer is, well, we choose that because we needed growth on a soul level. I mean, that's the typical, you know, answer that you hear. But Actually, I was reading a post by Jim Matlack, who's a reincarnation researcher, and he said, you know, the evidence doesn't really support that. You know, he says, what if we just, there's evidence that we choose our parents, or maybe we choose our sex, or maybe we choose the country in which we want to be born, but maybe things just play out from there, that we don't have knowledge of what our life is going to be.
Wow.
You're looking at me like you don't believe it. That's not something that you believe.
No, that's just a whole new way I have to adjust my thinking. You know, I was buying into this blueprint plan, and
right,
we map it out.
Which makes sense.
I buy into the blueprint plan just from hindsight and looking back on doing things that I wouldn't have chosen to do, but I was led down that pathway to do it. So that's an implication, that there is some sort of a major blueprint someplace for something. You may not have to follow it exactly, or if you deviate from it at some point, there's always some other thing that's going to bring you back onto that pathway.
And while on the same subject of reincarnation, do we bring our skills and talents with us to the next life? I mean, do you think? I mean, can that be so many things that that we can't explain scientifically, like prodigies, for example?
Yeah.
There seems to be no logical explanation for a young child being able to compose symphonies or doing complex mathematics, right? But so, you know, could reincarnation be a possible explanation? But then again, it would have to be the reincarnation of somebody extraordinary like Bach or, you know.
Well, I certainly in one of the books, whether it was Testimony or of Light or one of them, it mentions soul groups. That doctors and scientists, when they get to the other side, will congregate with them, and, you know,
collectively
and musicians, I would imagine, would go that in their direction. So whatever you were driven by on this realm, you would get to on that realm, I would think.
That's in three different books that I recall. One is Testimony of Light. The other one is the Seth Materials.
That discusses
that. And then the Unobstructive Universe also goes into the soul groups. So there must be something to it if that concept keeps coming up.
So they would lend assistance on two levels, really. I mean, one, they would be able to project, you know, thoughts and ideas to somebody like an inventor or an artist or a songwriter here on in the physical realm. But then on a soul level, they can also influence somebody that reincarnates.
But I want to differentiate, because you're using the word talents, okay? And some people may have a talent for construction, or some people. But I think when you're talking about arts like music and creativity and numbers, mathematics, quantum physics, those are things we know drive the universe. Numbers.
Yeah.
Numbers keep coming up. They come up in astrology. They come up in Kabbalah. They come up all over. And Einstein was solving everything using numbers. Today's physicists solve everything using numbers.
I was going to bring up Einstein because he dreamed the theory of relativity. That's how he woke
right
up, and he had it from a dream. So was it given to him from his soul group?
Wow.
Paul McCartney wrote yesterday, it was out of a dream. Keith Richards wrote Satisfaction out of a dream. So, yeah, you do connect and are connected.
Right, and I think many musicians and many artists repeat that story over and over and over again. It's so common.
Yeah.
Because there's something about the universe that music, art, and numbers are the center of it, or what makes it go round.
Jim also wanted to know, how soon will science allow us to easily communicate with those that have crossed over? Will this be in our lifetime? Well, it's a good question. I think everybody is curious about that. And, you know, God knows we've been trying, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you have people like going back to Thomas Edison that were trying to build, an apparatus that would make it easier. We all want to make communication easier.
But
everybody's focusing on the science and the technical aspect, but maybe that's not the answer.
Right.
You know,
No, I think Tom was touching on it before when he said we're moving towards a more spiritual world, and we're going to change. So if everybody gets very spiritual, if we stop getting sidetracked by all the materialism, all the fighting, all the negativity, then we are opening ourselves up to that realm. And then, yes, you have to be able to communicate, because that's where we all get our guidance from anyway.
Yeah.
Meditation is the key. In fact, I know the film director, David Lynch, believes so strongly that he has used his own money and he has gone into poor and underprivileged neighborhoods, Detroit for one, into a school, and he brought in meditation. And within a year, these kids who were not functioning or in the society are now graduating from high school and going to college and are finding success. So that, and then that speaks to exactly what you say. If you get your ego and yourself out of the picture and rely on the fact that you are part of this flow, let the flow take you. That's what meditation does for you. It lets you tap into the flow of the universe.
Yeah, as much as it's not something I would ordinarily say, but I think that the evolution of consciousness is what ultimately is going to pave the way for communication, not the evolution of science. You know?
Right. Yeah. I agree.
We're going to go to another break. When we come back, we have many more questions to address, so stay with us. Be back in a few.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one. Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Wind Bridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a WindBridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
Hello, my name is Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to the Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're continuing our discussion about listener questions about the afterlife. Now, there's one that I haven't read yet. It's very simple. Tom, I expect you to be able to answer this very. And the question from Susie is, Tom, what exactly does the afterlife look like?
Yes.
That is actually pretty easy. It looks like what you... Open your eyes, look around. It's no different. You're just in a different vibration. And that's why mediums, they say, well, I see somebody standing right behind you. You're standing, you know, when you're in the afterlife, you can, and what I've heard, the messages I've gotten, is that you're able to go faster than a jet airplane, I've been told, that if you want, you can jet off to the moon or jet off to another planet or wherever you want to go, or you can come back here and, you know, see what your kids or your grandkids are up to. And in fact, one reading from my dad that Melissa got, he said, oh, you see that jet ski out there? I'm going to go out there after this reading and I can spend all day on this jet ski, and the guy never knows.
Well, I mean, so those are certain, you know, differences. I mean, the near-death experiences report that everything's intensified, so the colors are more vibrant.
Yeah.
And the music is with tones that they haven't heard before, right? You know, if you go by the channel reports, they talk about, as Tom was saying, at least initially, you don't even know that you're gone from this physical world, because your same environment in a lot of cases still appears. I mean, including your house and some of the material things. I guess that has something to do, because that's still what your mind is projecting. But then there are also in those books that you referenced before, they talked about learning centers, right, and things like museums and theaters and, you know, and all sorts of, as Tom alluded to, you're on everything is by thought projections. You want to be here, you're there. You want to live in a mansion? Okay, here's a mansion, you know. You want to eat food? You create it, you know.
For Star Trek fans, they used to have, on the Star Trek, they'd have a room, what they called the holodeck. And you go in and you pick a period of time or a place, and then you put dial it up, and all of a sudden holograms came up, and you're right there in the middle of that sort of thing. You make a good point that you are not hampered by your human body. You will hear many readings of people who were bedridden or had bad knees or couldn't walk, and they say, I'm dancing now. Yeah, this is great. And as Bob says, your vision is also not hampered. A year or so ago, I had double cataracts, and I didn't really, I mean, the one eye I knew because it was blurry, but the other eye I thought was fine. And then when the doctor told me, well, you know, we'll do your one eye and then we'll do your other eye, and I'm going, what do you mean? The other eye's fine. But then when I had it done, it was that way. All the colors were more vibrant. Everything was, like, more vibrant. And you know, I still have, obviously, human eyes. So I imagine when you get to the afterlife and you don't have to rely on human eyes, that the colors will be way more beautiful than you ever imagined, which is another message I've gotten.
And I remember after your surgery, you said, Melissa, you're even more beautiful than I imagined.
That is true.
Brian writes a question that we've talked about in the past, but when a person has been reincarnated, is it possible for a medium to contact the former personality? And that's something that I pondered often, because why wouldn't the medium, and it's never happened, but I've never seen a reading, you know, where a medium, of course, sometimes very good mediums don't seem to be clicking, and perhaps that could be an explanation, yeah, where they're getting all this information that can't be corroborated by the sitter, because the sitter doesn't have any memory of the past life. But maybe that information, you know, is true. And if you're this this conglomeration of different souls, all with different lives and different memories, I would think it would be possible. I've asked mediums about that, and they've kind of dismissed the thought. You know, but what do you think?
I think they're dismissing it because they haven't experienced it. I think that usually is why you get the answers you get from mediums, is because they can only base their answers on their experience, not on research or science or conjecture. It's just, you know, and that's a good thing, that you can ask them these pointed questions and they are honestly answering it from the place of experiencing the spirit world.
Right. And that's an interesting point, because that really is the crux of the problem, if you will, is that nobody accepts something that they haven't seen for themselves, and, you know, including readings. You know, there's so many people I know who said, oh, this is all bunk, and then they have a reading, and then afterwards they say, well, there's no other explanation. So until you get that experience, you're going to be saying, "Well, I don't think so." You know.
Right, but I think that's also why you never hear through the medium readings a description of the afterlife, is because there's no way for them to describe it, because each person's experience is their own experience. Each soul's, each personality, each consciousness, it's their experience. And not only that, even if they were to describe something, it's not evidential to the sitter.
Right.
So it's not something that is going to happen during a reading.
Yeah. In fact, if they do start discussing that, we might be a little skeptical.
We should be skeptical, because we've seen all of these books written by people who claim to have channeled the information of exactly what the afterlife is from their deceased, you know, aunt, uncle, child, mother, father, and they're all different. Every single book is different. So that speaks loudly in and of itself.
If we were meant to be able to communicate with the dead, why is it so difficult?
Oh.
Because we're not doing it the right way.
Exactly. We're not listening. That's the response I've heard, is that we're communicating, you're just not listening.
I agree. And I'm not listening either. I'm guilty of it too. It's a learned trait.
Yeah.
And we are so entwined in the everyday stuff of what we have to do to exist in this physical world. There is no quiet time. So, Tom, when you were talking about meditation,
exactly,
we go back to that same thing as the key. If we all became swamis, and we were just meditating all day, we'd have all of the brilliant information from the other side that we needed.
Yeah, and of course the preconceived notion, you know, you figure, well, I read Hamlet, and his father appeared on the parapet, you know, in military garb. So I'm not seeing that, so there's no ghost out there, you know. And you're not going to see what you think you're going to see. You're going to see what's there, and you just have to recognize it.
Does everything exist simultaneously, including all future possibilities?
I hate this one. I can't answer that.
That was just for you, Melissa.
I have trouble with this one. Yes.
Yeah. Seth will tell you yes.
What do you think, Bob?
Well, you know, so the old writings, you know, tell us that before things like quantum physics were discovered. So you would think if modern science is leaning in that direction and the ancient writings are talking about that, I would tend to think yes too, that we just live in a sea of probability and where everything is existing at once, you know. Then that leaves the other theory, which, of course, has not been proven, about parallel universes. So you, Melissa, may very well exist simultaneously, even as we speak, you know, on many different realms and many different, you know, planets, Earths, you know, whatever we're talking about. That's, you know, that's comic book stuff, but who's to say it's not true?
And, yeah, and that's extremely difficult to imagine, because you're trying to put it into physical terms so you can understand it. And again, Seth is coming up a lot tonight. There's one thing that in the Seth book that I was impressed with, where he stops and he goes, "I could tell you, but your human brain could never understand this."
He does that very often in the book.
Yeah.
See, what you can't wrap your head around, Melissa, is the fact that it is. You know, remember the Superman comics, like the Bizarro world, where everything was opposite? Somewhere out there, there could be a mean Melissa.
Oh! She shows up in this realm every once in a while.
Well, I don't want to hear that, because I don't want you to spoil my image. How are we doing with time?
I'm going to give you one more minute.
You are?
Yeah.
I don't know if we can do... all right, so we'll have to... You have to answer this in 10 seconds.
Okay, let's do that.
If they're all talking to the dead, why are some mediums better than others?
Oh.
Well, if you can all play the violin, why are some violinists better than others? That's my answer.
My answer is that you're giving the credit to the mediums when we should be giving it to spirit, and it's spirit's ability to communicate. The medium's only receiving it.
And, of course, then begs the question, are some people in spirit better able to communicate than others? And I believe that to be true.
Yeah.
Okay. Our minute is up?
Your minute is up.
Okay.
And we now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Bob Stahl, Sandy Raybould, Eddie Koons, Evelyn Ingram, Cynthia Post, Helen Montalto, Michael Tim, David Haith, Glennett Irwin, Miriam Pierzga, Stanley Mulan, Donna Mello, James Rafferty, Diane Archangel, Isabel Ginsberg, Vince Mataya, Lauren Ramnath, Rich LeBly, Veronica James, Alex Hanna, and Linda Ellis. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.